Blog Talk Radio.
Time about celebrities
going out there and voicing their politics. Like, I don't, you know, Sean Penn's one of the great actors of this generation or any generation. I could care less about what Sean Penn thinks about, you know, elections. I don't care. I really don't. It's, you know, you're an actor. Act. That's all you have to do is act. I mean, you want to do hobby, you want to do some side things, some hobbies on the side, whatever. You know, George Clooney does what he does as far as, you know, does what he does in different countries as far as giving and things like that. That's fine, and that's wonderful. But I don't care about their politics, nor do I care about Rick Pitino's or Jim Boeheim's opinions on guns. I don't care. You know, why, you know, and why do you think, why should they, why do they believe that anybody else cares? I mean, again, you are, you coach college basketball. That's what you do. You've done it, both of them are all-time great head coaches. I mean, great Boeheim, you know, 900 wins, Pitino's won a championship, won every, win the Final Fours at three different schools, a wonderful coach. Great coach. Both of them great coaches. But when it comes to their opinions on an issue like guns or an issue like abortion, and, you know, nobody cares about that. You know, sports, there's a time that as a, you know, as a sporting, as a sports person, coach, player, that you, you know, got to know your place. Got to know your place. Because you're not helping the situation. You're not adding anything to it. All you're doing is just talking. You're just talking. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or hit me up on Facebook.com/TheRealQuinn or go to SurrealGeraldQuinn.com, which certainly this opening segment will be on before the day is out. When we return, we'll have Saturday morning headlines and also the Redskin Report. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake up call. We'll be right back.
When I was a little girl, I had a drag doll. Only doll I ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love that drag doll. But only now my love has grown.
Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Your host, Surreal Quinn. 39 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this 22nd of December 2012. Blog Talk Radio. Of course, weekend before Christmas. Hope you're being safe out there. Saturday Morning Headlines. The NHL Players Union will decertify, which will give them the right to file individual antitrust lawsuits to declare what they'll be attempting to do is declare the lockout illegal, very much similar to what the NFL did with the, you know, Brady Breeze when Brady, between Brady and Breeze led, Brady, Breeze, Peyton Manning lawsuits led against the NFL. So the NHL, they're going to decertify. Games through January 14th have been canceled. And, you know, I know John Daly, not John Daly, but Bill Daly has come out there and said that, Deputy Commissioner, that there will be a season. Again, you wonder, this probably will be the last set of cancellations that the NHL can afford to have, that the NHL can afford to have before the season is canceled. Again, it's nothing but a money grab for the NHL. There's no reason whatsoever that the NHL should be locking out the players. It is not. I mean, you know, in the other sports, you could have made a case that football was not necessary at all. Basketball, you could have made a case that it was necessary for it to happen, considering the salaries and considering, you know, the teams with the most money having the biggest advantages as far as spending money. So you could have made the case for the NBA. NFL, NHL, there was no reason to lock out. No reason to lock out the players. It's strictly a money grab. And the NHL is no different with what they're doing right now. And, you know, Gary Bettman, again, threatening to lose another season, which, you know, 2004, 2005, entire season lost. I don't see how anybody could be pro Gary Bettman if they are to lose another season after this. I just don't see how what's being accomplished here. I mean, your sport already is by far and away the fourth most popular out of the four major sports easily. It's easily behind the NFL. NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball, easily. They are a distant fourth. And now you're going to a situation where you can lose another season, and nobody's going to care. Other than a diehard hockey fan, nobody's going to care if the NHL is gone. Because, again, you have college basketball, you have the NBA, baseball, before you know it, pitchers and catchers will be reporting, and then NHL will be basically an afterthought, and nobody will care. I haven't heard. I've heard bits and pieces about this, to be honest with you. I mean, you have to dig to hear anything about the NHL right now. You really do. Like, I don't see anybody keeping up with this hour to hour, you know, day to day, minute to minute. Because again, it's the NHL. It's by far and away the fourth most popular out of the sports, easily. So we'll see if they can come to their senses. Get this deal. They should be playing hockey. I mean, it's just no two ways about it. There's no excuse for this. If you're an NHL diehard fan, you certainly, you know, this is the type of thing that would, you know, that would keep you from not coming back for a while, to be honest with you. Coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, we'll have the Redskins report and talk NBA and talk some NBA as well. That's coming up on this latest edition of Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. We'll be right back. Edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. Surreal Quinn taking you for the next 45 minutes as we discuss the world of sports. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Redskin report for the 8-6 first place Washington Redskins. Obviously, tomorrow, to me, you know, tomorrow could dictate what the rest of the regular season can be for the Redskins, whether they make the playoffs or not. Redskins do have an outside chance of clinching if they win tomorrow. Now, a lot has to happen for that to occur. Of course, they have to win. Giants have to lose to Baltimore. Chicago has to lose to Arizona. And Minnesota has to lose to Houston, which is not the craziest thing ever. I mean, Giants can certainly fall to the Ravens. Minnesota is probably expected to lose to Houston. And, you know, see, the way Chicago's playing right now, I mean, them losing to Arizona is big. I mean, that could be a defensive game. Who knows? And, you know, Patrick Peterson could be returning a punt for a touchdown. And, I mean, you know, Arizona, Chicago should be Arizona, but it's not, you know, if Chicago loses, if Arizona beats Chicago, it won't be the biggest upset in the history of mankind. More than likely, all three of those things will not happen. So it's probably going again. I've said this for the past 4 or 5 weeks, and I'll continue to say it. It's probably going to come down again to FedEx Field this time next week, Cowboys, Redskins, for everything. Could be for the division, for the playoffs, for, you know, somebody's out, you know, who win and take all. It's probably going to come down to that, more than likely. Because more likely, Cowboys, of course, have a tough game against the Saints. So, even if the Cowboys lose, Giants win, they'll be, you know, the Redskins will still be in a position where, you know, they could be, you know, out with a loss or, you know, be forced to win. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen, of course, depending on what happens with the Bears, Vikings. If both the Bears and Vikings lose, that would be certainly in the Redskins' benefit. They have tiebreakers over both those teams. And that's a good thing the Redskins have right now going for them. Redskins have tiebreakers over everybody right now with an 8-6 record. They have tiebreakers over the Giants based on division. They have a tiebreaker over Dallas based on division. They have a tiebreaker over Chicago based on conference and strength of schedule. They have a tiebreaker over Minnesota based on the head-to-head. So that's the one thing that's a good thing the Redskins have going for them. And bottom line is, they control their own destiny. This game is going to be very interesting. I don't buy the fact that the Redskins, by any stretch, will be overlooking the Eagles. I just don't see it. It's a divisional game. Certainly the Eagles, the Redskins have been on the other end of the spectrum with the Eagles, where the Eagles are playing for playoff, playing for divisions and trying to make the playoffs, while the Redskins are clearly out of it. So it's a little bit of a reversal of fortune here with these two teams. And, you know, the Eagles obviously are banged up. They're, you know, banged up physically and mentally. Andy Reid's gone. We all know that. Vic is going to be gone. We all know that. They've had an awful season. But they still have talent. LeSean McCorby will be back. They still have some receivers that can hurt you. Nick Foles can get hot. Defensive play is starting to play a little bit better. So, and it's on the road. So, again, the Redskins, if the Redskins were going to take a game off, not take a game seriously, it would have been against the Cleveland Browns, a non-divisional, non-conference opponent. That's you know, I came into the game at 5-9 as well. I came into the game at 5-9. I mean, that was a game that, to me, that was more concerning than this game. I fully expect the Redskins' attention bunch of antennas to be up in this game. There's no question about it. There's no way about it. There's no question about it from my eyes. And now, listen, does that mean they're automatically going to win? No. No, it doesn't mean it's going to be an automatic win. But they will not lose this game because they weren't ready to play. I don't buy that whatsoever. Again, I think the Redskins match up extremely well against the Eagles. I think the Eagles, you know, lead the league in turnovers. The Redskins have had a lot of success with turning people over. The Eagles are the type of team that you don't have to play great to beat them. You don't. I mean, that's the bottom line. You don't have to play great to beat them. The Eagles will hand you a football game. They'll give it to you. If you just take care of your business, don't turn over the ball, play your game, you should be able to handle the Eagles. That's where the Eagles are at right now. They beat themselves. They're going to find a way. They find ways to lose games. Now, McCoy being back will help. Bryce Brown, you know, had a couple of good games, but just could not, you know, kept putting the ball on the ground. again, you're still dealing with Foles as being a rookie quarterback. Who knows, is that crowd going to be as enthused as it has been in the past? It will be Andy Reid's last home game. I think I get a sense that certain fans are happy about that, and that you're not going to get this "we love Andy" cheer. I can guarantee you that. The Redskins defense is much better in the second half of these games, in the second half of their last three games. You look at the numbers. Redskins defense in the second half of the last three games only giving up 5.7 points per game and also just 135 yards per game, which tells you that they're making some great adjustments at halftime. That's all there is to it. And last week they only gave up 7 points after in the second half, that one long touchdown pass to Benjamin, which was a blown coverage. So, again, the Redskins defense, and again, their defense will not get the credit that it deserves based on the numbers. And you look at how many points they're giving up per game, the total yards, especially passing-wise. Rushing, they rank in the top three rushing yards against. But passing, they rank in the bottom half. Total, certainly bottom half. Scoring, bottom half. But the Redskins defense has had timely turnovers. The Rob Jackson interception. London Fletcher making a play here and there. So the defense has played much better than what the numbers indicate. Of course, RG3 will play tomorrow, and I completely agree with the decision to sit him. I thought they made the right decision in sitting him last week. Cousins came in, played great. You give him an extra week, give him basically 2 weeks off. He should come in. He should be fine. Come tomorrow. I think the Redskins handled that situation as well as you can handle it. He went through all the practices, went through everything, and got the doctors okay, and that's how you go about it. Like, he said he could have played last week, wasn't happy about sitting, but you can't let a player make that kind of decision. Of course, a player, especially a quarterback, somebody is prideful, it's RG3, is always going to be. Always going to want to step out on the field if he can walk. So, I mean, again, you don't let him make that decision. You listen to the doctors and keep it moving. Again, I think this is a game that the Redskins will control. I think this is a game that the Redskins, obviously, this would be a horrible loss for the Redskins. Horrible. You don't want a situation where you lose this game, and you're hoping that the Giants lose. You don't want that. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're counting on other teams to lose, where you're counting on the Giants to lose Philadelphia, not counting on or looking for the Giants to lose, at the Giants to lose Philadelphia. I don't know. I mean, AFC East could get two teams. It could get two teams. I would not be surprised the way the Bears are playing right now. But I don't think the NFC East is going to get two teams. I think it's going to come down. I think the NFC East is going to be the NFC East champion, and that's it. But again, a lot could change. I mean, certainly Seattle could lose to San Francisco, and that could, change the whole deal. Redskins not have to win a division and possibly get in. A lot still can happen, but more than likely, you want that divisional title. And you want to go through the division and not have to go the route of hoping and praying that another team loses. And the Redskins are absolutely in that position right now without question. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, how real are the Clippers? We'll talk about that on our NBA beat. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
Rise, look around you.
Relatively healthy and you're playing well, I mean, anything can happen. certainly the matchups make a difference, make a big difference. But just get into the dance. Just get into the dance. You have your quarterback. You get into the dance with your quarterback. And something that Houston didn't have last year, they didn't have Matt Schaub, which probably kept them out of the Super Bowl. So I think the NFL is wide open. Wide open. I cannot tell you right now. I can't even give you a guess on who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl come February, come that first weekend in February. I really couldn't. 347-215-6180. NBA action last night. You saw the Clippers extend their winning streak to 12 with a victory over Sacramento. DeMarcus Cousins added again. He apparently was held in the locker room at halftime, as the rest of the team made their way out. I don't know what he did. Again, he's a guy who has as much talent as any power forward in the league and who could be the best power forward in the league best center in the league if he put his mind to it. But he just can't trust him. I mean, that's all there is to it. You just can't trust him to keep his head on straight. And, I mean, I don't know if it is him, but, you know, you get the sense that he's going to have to get out of Sacramento in order to fulfill his full potential as a player. But the biggest story from that, of course, are the Clippers. Clippers right now with no Chauncey Billups, no Grant Hill, playing great basketball. They're second behind Oklahoma City in the Western Conference with a record of 20-6. Oklahoma City is 21-5. Oklahoma City, of course, had their 12-game winning streak snapped by a Minnesota team that is going to be very dangerous as Rubio gets healthier and they start to mesh. Love has played great since returning from his injury. That is a team to watch in the Western Conference. Not to win the Western Conference, but just I think they're going to make the playoffs this year, and I think they're going to be a very fun team to watch. They have a lot of talent on that Minnesota team, of course, led by a guy who you can certainly make the case to be the best power forward in the league in terms of Kevin Love. He's just a tremendous offensive player. But when you look at the Clippers, Oklahoma City, first with the Clippers, again, I think the Clippers are tailor-made for the regular season. They can play small ball. They are as athletic as any team in basketball. Great point guard, deep bench, young, energetic. So I think the Clippers are going to win a ton of games in the regular season. Where the Clippers will be gauged and where you will find out who the Clippers really are, of course, is in April when you get to the playoffs. You know, can the Clippers play? I mean, can they play a slowdown game? Where is Blake Griffin's post-up game? Does Blake Griffin have a post-up game? You know, can Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan make free throws at a key time? Can Chris Paul go back to that level he was at, that MVP level he was at a couple of years ago in New Orleans? Because Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul has played well this year, but, you know, Chris Paul hasn't been great this year. I have not seen, he's not the same player he was like 2 or 3 years ago. He's really not. He's not. And again, I know he's only 27, but he's not that player that can just dominate. Can he dominate an entire series? I haven't seen enough to say that he is that player right now, to be honest with you. So, and they need Chris Paul to be that guy who can dominate a series. And they need Blake Griffin to be that guy with the post game. Right now, I don't think Blake Griffin has a post game. And I think you can slow the Clippers down. I think you can pound them inside. I think you can frustrate them in a half court game. And again, against the San Antonios of the world, against the Memphises of the world, Oklahoma City's, you're not getting past those teams if you can't play half court basketball, especially Memphis and San Antonio. And I think Oklahoma City is just better than the Clippers, to be perfectly honest with you. So, you know, it looks good now. And I know a lot of people are high on the Clippers. but I'm not as high. Again, I like their talent, but again, I'm not as high on the Clippers as everybody, as the rest of the basketball world is, to be honest with you. I'm not. I think they are a classic built for regular season team. As far as Oklahoma City is, we know Oklahoma City can be. The question is Oklahoma City this year better than Oklahoma City last year? And that's, you know, James Harden, no James Harden versus Kevin Martin. Oklahoma City's 112 straight. You have Kevin Durant, who probably would be the MVP right now, playing great. Westbrook playing better. But again, similar to the Clippers, even more so than the Clippers, they are gauged on what they can do or what will they do in the postseason. And to me, I don't think that question can be answered until the postseason on whether or not they're better with Harden, without Harden. I don't think you can answer that question until we see it. I don't. It looks good right now, Kevin Martin's been playing great. The one thing I will say is their young players are playing better. Ibaka's playing much better. Having Maynard back helps. I mean, Durant, Westbrook are improving, have gotten better. So, you know, maybe they go out there and have the best record in the NBA. But will that translate to them beating the Miami Heat in the finals? I don't know. I honestly don't know if it is the Heat. So I can't answer the question whether or not Oklahoma City of this year is better than Oklahoma City last year, better than the Oklahoma City of last year. If they are better, then that might result in an NBA championship. But again, James Harden had some huge playoff games last year, especially against San Antonio. That San Antonio series, he was tremendous. You know, everybody wants to knock him for what he did do in the Miami series, but they don't get to Miami without James Harden, without no question about it. They don't get to Miami. You know, they don't get to the finals. He dominated that series, outplayed Ginobili by a country mile, and was tremendous. Deron Williams calling out Avery Johnson, talking about he's not comfortable in the offense. He likes the Utah offense better. Jerry Sloan, you know, what they were running in Utah. Listen, shut up if you're Deron Williams. You're not good enough to call out anybody, to be honest with you. And you especially can't call out Avery Johnson when you're shooting barely shooting 40% from the field. And don't sit up here and tell me that, you know, the offense is the reason why you're not playing well. It doesn't matter. If you're a great player, it doesn't matter what offense you're in. You're going to perform well if you're truly a great player. And we know Deron Williams has great talent to be in, has a talent, and is one of the top point guards in the league. But he's not played well this year. Nets struggling after a fast start. That team is just out of place, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Joe Johnson is not a number two. You don't want him as your second best player. Their second best player should be Brooke Lopez. Brooke Lopez is soft. You know, Deron Williams is not a number one player. You want him as your classic number two. That's why they went after Dwight Howard. So the pieces just don't – just not – everybody's not in their right particular place as far as the pecking order, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, again, Brooke Lopez picks it up. Deron Williams starts playing better. They'll win some games. They'll make some playoffs. But to be threats in the Eastern Conference with what we're seeing out of the Eastern Conference, not going to happen. They're not just – they're probably a 5 or 6 seed at best. I don't think they're looking at a 6 or 7 seed, to be honest with you. Chicago, very impressive over New York. Forget about the nonsense that went on with Tyson Chandler and the technical fouls. Forget about that. That was just a thorough beatdown by the Bulls. The game was not as close as the score indicated. You know, Knicks have played well against the majority of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, but they have not been able to solve the Bulls this year. The Bulls have beaten them twice and beaten them handily twice. First time you want to say, no Carmelo, you know what, they had no Derrick Rose. So that, to me, is even. This time, in Madison Square Garden, they take it to the Knicks with all their players, And again, of course, the Bulls with no Derrick Rose. Bulls will be very interesting to watch in the postseason. Derrick Rose supposed to be a little bit ahead of schedule. Might be coming back in February. Again, I wouldn't trust them to get to the finals because I don't think they score enough points. But listen, they certainly could get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and make some noise because of how well they're coached and how well they defend. So they'll be a very dangerous team once they get one Derrick Rose back. When we return on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, we're bringing back Are You Kidding Me? That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Cyril Quinn taking you to the bottom half of the hour as we discuss the world of sports. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Josh Brent of the Cowboys has been banned from the Cowboys sidelines.
Are you kidding me?
This is like a week too late, right? I mean, he's banned. First of all, he shouldn't have been on the sidelines last week. And I don't care what the family, I don't care what the mother of Jerry Brown says, to be honest with you. I don't care. Shouldn't have been on the sidelines last week. But then you hear that, and this was the comical part about it, that neither Jerry Jones nor Jason Garrett had any clue that Brent was on the sidelines. I mean, how is that possible? I mean, you're a head coach. You don't know who's on your own sidelines. You're a head coach. That's what the player snuck him in. Come on. And even if you want me to buy the fact that, hey, you know, Jason Garrett, game day, head coach, everything's going on, you know, calling plays, he's, you know, checking with the other coaches. He's a head coach. He's in charge of everything. Okay. Maybe I won't buy it, but somewhat. Someone you can attempt to sell that to me. But the fact that Jerry Jones, who owns the building and knows every nook and cranny about the building, and who, by the way, spends a lot of time on the sidelines, doesn't know who's on the sidelines, wouldn't know if Josh Brent, through his probably gazillion sources within that stadium, was on the sidelines, you're going to tell me that Jerry Jones, who's on the radio, who's on sports talk radio every day, seemingly, with his own show, that he doesn't know that Josh Brent was on the sidelines? Please, come on. Man, come on. let's be realistic. And I said it to a buddy. Josh Brent should have never been allowed on that sideline, period. I don't think the NFL had any clue that he was going to be on the sidelines, or I think they would have made a move, would have moved sooner on this and would have told the Cowboys, listen, no, this event is no good. It's no good. Can't be there. Can't have it. Michael Vick says his prime is still ahead of him.
Are you kidding me?
Michael Vick is going to be that quarterback that is, you're going to have to just take the ball out of his cold, dead hands. He's going out, you know, it's not going to be pretty with the way he goes out physically. I mean, the injuries are going to have to force his retirement, basically. Vick is obviously delusional about where he is right now in the current pecking order of quarterbacks in the NFL. Says he's a starter. Now, and I agree. He probably is when healthy. He is a starter. I agree with that standpoint. But the problem is, of course, him staying healthy for 12 games. Not 16. That's unrealistic for even 12 games. And there'll be a team that picks him up. I mean, whether it's the Jets, Arizona, whoever. There are a number of teams that need quarterbacks. But I'm telling you right now, you get Michael Vick, you better have a backup that's ready to play right away. And chances are, if you need Michael Vick, if you were struggling to have one good quarterback, there was no way that you had a backup quarterback that is worthy of being on the field. So I wouldn't touch Michael Vick. I wouldn't touch Michael Vick if I'm a particular. And it's amazing, you know, Michael Vick. The respect, a lack of respect that he's showing the Eagles, to me, has been an underreported story. It's already talking about next year and talking about he'd be willing to do this, do that, play for this team, play for that team, and what have you. Michael, the season's not over yet. I mean, yeah, you're still under contract for a ton of money with the Eagles. Can you at least wait until the season's over? Can you wait until December 31st to talk about your future? The Eagles are going to cut you. There's no question about it. I wouldn't even say tell him to wait till they cut him, because he's cut, basically. The Eagles can't cut him soon enough. But can you wait until the season's over? Officially the season's over. We know unofficially that the Eagles season has been over for a while. But can you officially wait until the season's over before you start talking about your future endeavors? I mean, come on. And the Eagle organization, you know, for all their issues in the last couple of years, they have been great to Michael Vick. I mean, they picked him up when nobody else was going to touch him. They gave him a boatload of money, made him a starter a couple years ago over Kevin Cobb, which was a controversial move and was not an easy move at the time. I mean, they did a lot. They've done a lot for Michael Vick. So, you know, I think he owes them more gratitude than to be talking about where he's going to play at in 2013. When we return, NFL picks for a week number 16 in a league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Thank you. number 16 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Just 2 weeks left in this NFL season, amazingly. But it's a time go. Three games this week will begin in the Motor City, Detroit. Tonight's game, last Monday night game of the season on Saturday night. Atlanta taking on the Lions, or I should say baby or Cubs. I should call them the Cubs. They've just been horrible this year. Detroit Lions, who the season can't end soon enough for at 4-10, taking on the Atlanta Falcons, who have a chance to clinch everything with a victory tonight. 4-point favorites are the Atlanta Falcons. I'm surprised that the line's not higher, to be honest with you. Falcons have to be feeling good after a 34-0 trouncing of the New York Giants. This game has high scoring written all over it. Both these teams are top five in passing offense. Detroit, a couple of injuries. Nick Fairley, Brandon Pettigrew are out. Again, I can't see Atlanta losing this game. I just can't. Not with something to play for. Again, I know Atlanta has had games where they've been shaky this year, won a lot of close games. But Detroit right now is just at a place where, they're ready for the season to end. The only thing that they're playing for is Calvin Johnson's chasing of one Jerry Rice's receiving yardage record. Now, that's the only thing they're playing for right now. I don't see Detroit as a team that's saying, yeah, we're going to be the spoiler, we're going to play tough. I don't see Detroit being like a New Orleans or a team of that nature, even Philly to a lesser extent. I think Detroit has tanked it in. I expect Atlanta 31-21, Atlanta to win this game and win this game relatively going away as Atlanta looks to go to 13-2 on the season. Houston hosting the Minnesota Vikings and the Adrian Peterson Express. Adrian Peterson, 294 yards away from breaking Eric Dickerson's 1984 rushing record of 2,105 yards. Again, Houston's defense has been shaky in the last month or so. Vic Ballard had 100 yards against them last week on not that many carries, on about 19 carries. You know what they're going to do. They're going to put 8-9-man fronts against Adrian Peterson, but teams have been doing that all season. I think Adrian Peterson single-handedly will keep Minnesota in this game, but it will not be enough as the balance of Houston will be just too much for Minnesota. I'll take Houston to win, but I'll take Minnesota with the points. I think Minnesota's going to keep this game close. They played well. They played well over the past couple of weeks. I think Minnesota will keep this game close. Houston wins, I would say, 27-23. Houston to win, Minnesota with the points. Cincinnati traveling to Pittsburgh. This is a absolute must win, to say the least, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had, following up a great win in Baltimore, had dropped two in a row to put their season basically on the brink. I like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 3-point favorite, which basically is a pick 'em considering they're at home. I like Pittsburgh in this game. I think Pittsburgh will be the more desperate team out of the two, even though Cincinnati is still chasing a division. Pittsburgh has won five straight in this series against Cincinnati, and dating back to 2001, if you want to go that even further back, are 18-6 against the Bengals, so they really have had their way against the Bengals. I don't see a change in here. I think you will see a desperate, thirsty, hungry Pittsburgh team come out and take out Cincinnati at home. I expect the game to be very close, something like 20-17, 23-20, somewhere in that ballpark. So take Atlanta with the points, take Minnesota with the points, but Houston to win, and I'll take Pittsburgh to take out Cincinnati. Those are our three games in a week 16 picks. This is Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Games around the league where no contract is guaranteed. New Orleans at Dallas should be interesting. It's a game that Dallas should absolutely win, but there are a lot of teams that I'd rather be playing if I needed a game to make the playoffs or to stay in contention for the division other than the New Orleans Saints. The Saints can put 40 on you at any given game. They're going to play hard. They're going to play hard. They're coming off a 41-7 win against Tampa Bay. That could be a tricky game for the Cowboys. A game that they should win without question. These Saints have had one of those years where it's just things have not went their way. Of course, with the bounties and injuries and just everything, it was lined up to be that kind of year for the Saints, and it's turned out to be that kind of year. But still, they're a dangerous offensive team that can put points on the board in a hurry, and I still don't trust that Dallas defense. They gave up 24 points to a Pittsburgh offense that has not played well in the last couple of weeks. So, very dangerous game for the Saints. For the Cowboys hosting the New Orleans Saints. Baltimore and New York, a battle of two teams who are frankly not playing well. Baltimore is in a free fall right now. The Giants need the game in the worst way. They do not want to go into next week counting on either, don't want to go into the next week counting on some other teams to lose, whether it be Seattle, because if the Redskins or the Redskins Cowboys, they will lose. The Giants already need help to win a division, but if they do win out, they will be in the wild card. But if the Giants lose tomorrow, then they lose all their control of their own destiny. They will have to have a lot of help to make the playoffs, let alone win the division. So, very key game there, Baltimore and New York, and of course San Francisco at Seattle, big game there. Seattle, both teams. San Francisco can clinch a division with a win. Seattle can clinch a playoff berth with a win. So, an eventful day tomorrow in week number 16 of the NFL season. Looking forward to it. Thank you for joining us for another program, Saturday Morning Wake Up Call program. I will see you soon. Merry Christmas and take it easy. We'll see you next week.